You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Your attention to a passage of scripture you'll find in the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want to begin reading at verse 20, and for your own personal understanding, you should read the entire 14th chapter in your leisure. Amen. But for the sake of our text, we read in your hearing Numbers 14, 20 through 23. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Our message is entitled, When You've Gone Too Far. When you've gone too far. Many of the examples and types of the Old Testament are great lessons for the church today. Amen. You must know that the same God of the Old Testament is also the same God of the New Testament. And the same God that governed Israel is the same God that governs the church. Did you not know that it's possible to receive salvation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but because of our own rebellion, allowing persistent sin to live in our lives, we can become displeasing to God. Unrepented sin can have severe consequences. The New Testament reminds us, as it reads in 1 Corinthians 10:5, as it talks of the children of Israel, it says in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And verses 10, chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written in for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Amen. You're standing on shaky ground when you allow persistent sin to just overcome you. Do not take God's grace and mercy for granted. The Bible says that God is love, and of course God is love, but God is long-suffering as well. But the Bible also states that whom God loved, he chasteneth in Hebrews 12:6. And then he says, if thou shalt confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 6 and 10. 1 John 1, 6 and 10. So the message today will prove that it is possible for you to go too far. Amen. You can exceed the spiritual speed limit of sin, and God will pull you over, and you can be arrested by the power of God. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, it says, God told Abram at the time, that his seed of the Israelites would sojourn in the land that was not their own and be afflicted some 400 years. Speaking of the land of Egypt. Afterward, they would come out with great substance to dwell in a land flowing with milk and honey. While Israel was born in bondage, they were made for liberties because God had a plan. And just as God had a plan for Israel, God has a plan for us. God would wean them from Egypt by making their lot in Egypt unbearable, and they cried out unto the Lord. So in God's plan, he raised up a man named Moses, along with his brother Aaron, to deliver Israel from bondage. When Egypt's Pharaoh refused to free the children of Israel, God sent 10 plagues upon the land, 10 miraculous plagues, all done by God. You remember the 10, don't you? Amen. Water in the Nile turned to blood. The frogs covered the land. Lice throughout all of the land. There was a swarm of flies through all the land. Pestilence of livestock. Boils on man and beast. This is in Egypt. Amen. Heavy hail and thunder and lightning was the 7th plague. 8 was swarm of locusts. 9 was 3 days of darkness. And 10, the climax to all of these plagues. Death of every Egyptian firstborn, including Pharaoh's son. Amen. These 10 plagues, Pharaoh said, that's enough. Get up out of here and go and do what you wanted to do. Amen. But these were miracles. And the children of Israel realized that these were the miracles by the hand of God. And you would think that they would hold these inside of them, knowing that their God was a miracle-working God. Yes, 10 plagues were necessary for Egypt to let the children of Israel go. When they left Horeb with the 10 commandments of God, Mount Sinai, an 11-day journey placed them where we are today in our text, in a place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is on the edge of Canaan, looking over into the promised land. And so God tells Moses to choose out 12 men to go and spy out the land. Cross over the Jordan and go and spy out the land that I promised you. Yes. Amen. Now this was God's idea. This wasn't Moses' idea, God's idea to send the 12 from each tribe, one from each tribe, to spy out and search out the land. Well, you would have thought that they realized that by the time they got here, they have all of these miracles to record as they spied out the land. They had some evidence that God was with them. They had the 10 plagues of God. They seen the Red Sea back up and they walked across on dry land. They seen the bitter waters turn to sweet as Moses threw a tree into the water. Amen. They were led by a pillar of cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by night. The angel of the Lord directed them as they made their way to Mount Sinai, from there to Kadesh Barnea. They got manna from heaven that appeared every morning for them. They got water from a rock. That should have told them something. Amen. God's law was written on with his finger upon the 10 tablets that Moses delivered to them at Sinai. The angel of the Lord led them, and they had faithful leaders, Moses and Aaron, as their high priest. You would have thought that all of this would have been enough evidence to tell them that whatever you do, the Lord is with you. So they went out, the 12 spies, one from each tribe. Look at all of this proof, all of this evidence that they had. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you have to look around and count the evidence that God has given you and what God has blessed you with. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you don't even need the Bible. You just need to know for yourself that you were sick and they didn't say you was going to get well, but somehow the Lord made a way for you. You remember when you didn't have a dime, but you looked in the closet in a pocket that you didn't even know you had the money, and you found that $10 or that $20 that you didn't forgot all about. I know you've been there. Amen. Don't you know the Lord put it there? Well, I know you did, but you forgot all about it. Amen. Look at and make the comparison with Israel and the church today. They were redeemed. They were let go from Egypt by the blood the lamb's blood upon the lintel and the doorpost. But we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. They were baptized unto Moses as they went through the Red Sea, but we have been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They received water from a rock. We have a well of water springing up into us, everlasting life. Amen. They had the water, but they got thirsty again. Jesus said, those that come unto me, the water that I give you, you will never thirst. They received the law at Sinai, the word of God. But we received grace at Calvary. They received a portion of God's word. We have the entire whole Bible. They were led by a pillar of cloud and fire. And day and night, we are led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't you understand that we got more evidence? They received manna that came down from heaven. We have the true bread of God, Jesus Christ, in us that came down from heaven. I'll tell you, we got more evidence than they got. But the spies went forward, and they spied out the land. And they brought back with them clusters of grapes and pomegranates and figs from the fig tree. And it's true what you said, Moses. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah. It's fertile. But we've looked at the people, and they're in fortified cities. They got giants in the land, the son of Anak. Yeah. So they came back and 10 gave a fearful or evil report, saying, yes, it's a nice land. It's a wonderful land. It's exceedingly good, but they got some giants over there, and I'm afraid that we can't go over there. They're too powerful. They're fortified. They have everything. They make us look like grasshoppers in our own sight. But two that went out and gave a favorable report, Caleb and Joshua, reported. And Caleb said, we should go up and take possession right now, if God be pleased with us. You see, this was the problem. All the men had facts, all 12, but only two had faith. Brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing to get the facts. It's better to have the faith with your facts. Their faith was based upon what they had already witnessed, what God had done. They had looked at the evidence, that is Caleb and Joshua. If you can't trust God because of what he's already done, how can you trust him for what he said he would do? We've got some evidence. We've got some facts. Those facts should indeed inspire our faith in him. And then they reported to the people, and the people chose to believe the evil report over against the good report. After all God had done from then, 10 fearful men, 2 faithful men, the people wept all night long, the Bible says. You never let your fear subdue your faith. Do not let your fear keep you from pursuing what God would have you to do. It takes faith to see the unseen and to do the miraculous. They even talked about going back to Egypt. Back into bondage, naming them certain captains to take them back to bondage. How could you go back to Egypt after God has released you? That's like the church talking about, I had it better when I was in the world, when I was living by hook and crook, when I this and I had it better then, I had more money then, I had everything then. Going back in the world if you can, amen. That tells me that perhaps you have never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus in the first place. Oh, you can think about going back. You can talk about going back. You can even make up songs about going back. But you can't go back. Why would you want to? When God has so much in front of us. Amen. Amen. Moses and Aaron had heard the crowd. They fell on their faces before the congregation. Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes when they heard what they had said about going back, this rebellious people. And then they talked about stoning them. Amen. All to the glory of God. But then the glory of God showed up. Amen. The Shekinah glory of God showed up right there. Israel had gone too far. God said, enough is enough. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. You've allowed your fear to overcome your faith. You've gone too far by not going far enough. You've come to the edge of the promised land and refused to go over by faith, and you've seen all the evidence that I'm with you, and you're going to stop now? There are a lot of us. There are a lot of us who God has been good to. God has blessed us, and we go so far, and then we just stop. We go so far, and we sit down. We go so far and say, Lord, ain't that good enough? But it's not good enough. You should continue to go forward for the glory of God. As long as you're here, as long as you got breath in your body, keep pursuing the will of God to do God's will. You've never done enough. I get tired, but I ain't never done enough. I get weary, but I ain't never done enough. After all God done for me, you can never do too much. God, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Preach, Pastor.
One might say that you can go too far by not going far enough, and that's exactly what they did. But see, Israel wasn't made to dwell in tents. They were made for the promised land. God had made these promises, and God won't go back on his promise. They were to drink from wells that they didn't dig, eat from trees that they didn't plant. They were to harvest crops that they didn't even plant. God had fixed them for a promised land, and here they are on the edge of the promised land, talking about, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to the world. Let's go back to bondage after you've been freed. God said, that's it. Yeah, that's it. He said, Moses, I can kill all of these folk and raise you up a new people. Now, this is not the first time God said this. Back at Mount Horeb, when they built that golden calf, God said it then. He said, Moses, I can get you some brand new people. Now, brother and sister, God never told me that. Amen.
Help us.
Because I could hear me saying, thou knowest well, Lord. Do what thou must do. God ain't never told me that he'd kill all y'all and raise up some new folk. And, you know.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And you ought to be glad. Amen. He never told me.
Amen.
I mean, after all, he knows much better than me. Amen. Amen. We were made for a promised land. Not down here, but a promised land on the other side. Promised land where every day is howdy and there's never goodbye. A promised land where Jesus is the son of that city. Amen. We were made for that. We were not made to be governed and ruled by Satan and this world. This is a messed up world we live in. You know that the United States has rebelled against God and everything that they've done.
Yes, sir.
Sin is woven into the fabric of this country. Amen. United States is more afraid of ISIS than they are afraid of God. You ought to be afraid of God. Haven't you seen the storms, the rain, the hurricanes? Haven't you seen the forest fires out of control? Don't you see these are warning signs that God is about fed up with us? We're almost gone too far. Amen. Amen. War and terrorism everywhere. The battle belongs to the Lord. We've come to the point where we need to ask ourselves, have I persisted in sin? Have I gone too far? Is God angry at me? Is God doing the same? Do you need to ask yourself that question? This sermon may not save your soul, but it might save your life. Amen. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Moses has interceded, and he tells God, he said, God, he said, if you kill all of these folk, what will all of the people around them say? That you were not able to bring them into the land that you promised them? And so the Lord said, yeah, you're right, Moses. You got something there. I, If you're willing to deal with these old crazy people, I'll pardon them. And so our text says, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word.
Yes, sir.
Well, I pardon them. He said, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. In other words, this is not going to stop my plan. Amen, amen. This might push the pause button on Israel. And I'm going to pause it for 40 years, but it's not stopping my plan. They will enter into the land, but none of these will. None in the age of 20 anyhow, if you read the text. Amen. Have you ever wondered why Israel had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness? It's because right here, they got to the edge. And instead of going by faith, they let fear subdue them. Listen to what he said. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, amen, all of them saw it,
they've seen it,
which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness.
Yes, sir, we've seen it.
Now they've tempted me these 10 times. It's if God was counting on his fingers every time they murmured against him, against Moses, against Aaron, God heard him. You think that God don't hear you complaining?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I want to tell you, our praise moves God. But our complaints hinder our progress. And we got some murmuring people in here.
Yeah.
You know how you murmur under your breath and how you talk about people, talk about me, talk about God, talk about everybody, talk about the deacon. I talk about them too, but y'all talk about the deacons.
Help us.
I don't murmur. I just come right out and tell them, God, what's wrong with them? Help them, Lord.
Help them.
So y'all here this morning because God's been helping you. Amen. God heard my prayers. 10 times.
10.
He's been counting it. And I looked back in scripture and I find in Exodus 14, 11, and 21 that they murmured at the Red Sea because they didn't see no way across. And they said, have you brought us out here to kill us? Number two, when they got down to Marah and couldn't drink the water because they were bitter, they murmured. And Moses cast a tree and made the water sweet. Number three time was in the wilderness of sin, Exodus 16:2. They murmured against Moses and Aaron and said, we had flesh pots back there in Israel and we didn't eat bread and were full. Because they didn't want the bread from heaven. And then they murmured when the bread came down from heaven. In Exodus 16:20, it says concerning the manna, notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, and some of them left it until the morning. They're supposed to pick it up. But they left it and it began to bread worms and it stank. Because they wouldn't do the commandment of God and God was wroth with them. Number five was concerning the manna as well. It says in Exodus 16:27-28, and it came to pass that some of them went out on the seventh day. They were only to gather for 6 days, but they went out on the seventh day to gather and found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse these people to keep my commandments and my laws? The sixth time, the sixth finger was at Rephidim, Exodus 17:1. When the people thirst for water and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us, the children and cattle with thirst? And God said, told Moses, hit the rock. And water came from the rock. The seventh time was Exodus 32 at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, where they took and made a golden calf and worshiped the calf instead of God. The number eight time, or the eighth finger, was at Tiberah, Numbers 11:1, where they allowed the mixed crowd to have persuasion over them. And they heard of their anger and was killed. The fire was burnt and consumed many of them on other parts of the camp.
Yeah.
And then in the ninth time was at the grave of lust, Numbers 11, where the mixed multitude fell among lusting. And they said, we had better food back in Egypt. And God sent them quails. Didn't see the miracles. And this tenth time is here at Kadesh Barnea.
Yeah.
10 times. God said these 10 times. Yeah, I've been counting. You think God's not counting?
Yeah.
Your reflections and your misgivings, your sins, and then you go along saying, well, I'm okay, I'm all right, because other people do the same thing that I do. And amen, but other people ain't God. God's been counting on his fingers 10 times. Israel rebelled against God. They provoked him. This is the provocation. They provoked him. Right now, some of you don't realize what finger God is on with you. God's been sending you signals.
Yes, sir.
He's been trying to get you to stop and to repent, but some of you persist in your sin because that's what you want to do. Persistent sin leads to physical chastisement. Come on, let me throw some Bible on this. So you'll understand it. The Bible talks about a man who was sleeping with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians 5:5. And Paul said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will save that soul, but I'll kill that body.
Amen.
Because you cannot persist in that sin. Then he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:30-32, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Let a man and a woman examine themselves. We usually read this on the first Sunday before you take communion, but this is for all time. You need to examine yourself. This is what I mean when I say check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You got to check you.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if all your friends are doing it.
Yeah.
Sin will lead to God's chastisement.
Yes,
that's why I tell you all the time, you need to repent daily.
Yes.
Don't provoke God's wrath. Yes. Yesterday's decisions and wrongdoing will yield today's consequences. Some of you have experienced the consequences of your sins and you don't even realize it. You've been sinning so long that you think it's all right. Persistent sin can cause havoc in your life. It hinders your walk before God and before mankind. Before your co-workers, before those you go to school with. Stop making excuses for your sin. And believe me, you know what your sins are.
Amen.
And sometimes your sins are not what you've done, it's what you're not doing. Amen. God has something for you to do, and you know God has something for you to do, and you sit back and you don't do it. You are just like Israel, refusing to go further into a land he has promised you. God had made some promise. That's why I tell you, look in your Bible, read your Bible. There are some promises God has made for me. I'm trying to collect on every promise God made. God is faithful. God cannot lie. And what God has promised to me, he will bring to fruition.
He'll do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
God knows my heart. That's what some folks say. Well, but God knows my heart. He also knows your actions.
Yes,
come on, God ain't stupid.
Yes, sir.
There's such a thing as premeditated sin.
Yes,
or people come to church planning to get out of here and do some mess when they get out of church. Amen. You're going to meet that man in the booth in the back in the corner in the dark when you get out of church. Amen. That premeditated sin, that ain't no good. You think you got some kind of unique agreement with God? Amen. A prenup? You think think you got a prenuptial agreement with God. I'll be saved, but still, I still want to do what I want to do, God. It don't work like that. Once you've been born again by the power of God, you don't walk on the blood of Jesus. It's the blood still works, and you don't step on that blood. Don't make a mockery of what God has done for you. God is not pleased with us when he's given us an opportunity to repent of our sins, confess our sins. The Bible says if you say you have not sinned, you are lying. The truth ain't in you. We go places we shouldn't go. We do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say, and we don't want to stop because we like the way it makes us feel. And you're not walking in the favor of God. Brother and sister, that God has to chastise us. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad God corrects us. He corrects us to perfect us. He whips us to equip us. He disciplines us to win us. He gives us pain to train us. Amen. Amen. And the whippings of God ain't good. Amen. But the pain will train you. That's one thing I know I had to thank my daddy for. Daddy trained me with some of the whippings I got. Amen. I thought a man was trying to kill me. That was training me to not do that again. And you remember them whippings. I remember one whipping he gave me up in the attic. He took me up in the attic so couldn't nobody hear me in the neighborhood. Daddy beat me like he was beating the dust out of a rag or something. He beat me so bad in the attic, and I hollered. I mean, I hollered for days. I hollered for release, but it didn't help. Amen. I never will forget that whooping, but that whooping helped me. I had took his car without his permission. Y'all done some stuff like that, too. Come on. See, that's why I pray for y'all deacons. Amen. That's why trying to make me feel so bad. Amen. I've been driving a car for 3 years and he didn't know it. Ever since I was 13 years old, I was driving daddy's car. And one day, Uncle Johnny, who was a police officer, seen me and he said, I didn't know Butch had his driver's license. Mama said he don't. Mama told daddy. Daddy took me up in the attic. Daddy beat me like I stole something. Well, I stole his car. Amen. Guess what? I didn't drive no more. I didn't want to take driver's license. Take driver's training after that. Amen. It's a long time before I started driving. Amen. You can see I was scared to drive. Amen. God will beat you to keep you. Amen. Now, the outcome of all of this is that God refused to allow them to go into the promised land. And sent them back into the wilderness to wander for 40 years. He said, 40 years for the 40 days you spied it out. And then those 10 spies that gave an unfavorable report, those 10 that gave an evil report, God sent a plague and killed all 10 of them. Josh and Caleb would be the only ones that would enter into the promised land. Amen. Even Aaron and Moses didn't make it in. Read the text and see what it says. Amen. So if God did that for them, what about you? Oh, you might get into the kingdom, but you might get there quicker than you think. Amen. God will move you out the way so that you don't become a stumbling block to your children or to other people around you because they see your sin. God sees your sin as well. I'm trying to help you today. So the children of Israel have provoked God in their disobedience, their lack of faith. They went too far by not going far enough. But in the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son to come down in 42 generations and to go to Calvary's cross for me and for you. Jesus could have stopped any time along the way, but he would go all the way to the cross. He came for the purpose to suffer the cat of nine tails, to suffer the whip of man, to suffer the abuse of mankind, the jeers of mankind, They said, crucify him, crucify him. And yet still he went to the cross for me and for you. Obedient unto the word of God, obedient to God's command, he came to fulfill his mission. His mission was to come into a sinful world and die for the sinners of this world. He died for you. He died for me. He died for the whole world. If you just put your faith and your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for us. That blood that flowed from his womb was just enough to cleanse all of us and heal us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Don't you dare walk upon that blood that he shed from the cross. They took him down from the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record said early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He now sits at the right-hand side of God, making intercession for me and for you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. My sins would have been enough to kill Jesus, but he took all of our sins upon himself and died in our place upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, yes. Jesus went all the way. And because he died for me, I must live for him. I'm willing to go all the way. Tired, weary, and wounded, I'm willing to go all the way. Not by constraint, but by faith. Please stand to your feet now. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.